From the towering Wasatch Mountains of the American Southwest, we welcome you to the next episode of Undiscovered Utah. This show focuses on the mysteries that surround the rugged, difficult, and sometimes deadly American Southwest. I'm your host, JB, and tonight we're talking about how you can find gems, crystals, fossils, and other highly sought-after natural treasures right here in the state of Utah. Let me tell you something. When my kids were young, my wife and I were looking into inexpensive activities that would get them outdoors, keep them engaged for more than 5 minutes, and be somewhat educational. That's kind of a tall order for two working parents with a young family. Camping and fishing were always fun family activities. However, it is unfortunate that our kids learned a few new unsavory words when my wife and I tried to load or unload our boat at the busy reservoir dock. Imagine three kids buckled into the back seat of our vehicle, my wife attempting to back the boat trailer down the busy ramp, and me standing in the boat, hoping that the motor would start once the propeller reached the water's edge. That's a lot of anxiety when the ramp and dock were crowded with outfits that were worth more than all of our earthly possessions. There was never room for error. Once we were out on the water, our entire family absolutely loved it. Well, until we started fishing, that is. Then our kids would get bored and either want to go for a boat ride or just go back home. To be honest, I really miss those days and wish I could have them back. If I could, I would do things a little differently. I wouldn't be so hell-bent on fishing. And I would go on a lot more boat rides with the kiddos sitting on my lap and taking turns driving the boat. Anyway, back to the story. As my wife and I brainstorm possible activities that might lower stress for everyone, all the while reducing new expletives being shared with the kids, I came across the title at a local bookstore. It was called Rockhounding Utah by William A. Capel. As I stood in the bookstore, I thumbed through the pages. I saw lots of hand-drawn maps with little mining symbols that indicated where you could find certain types of gemstones. I was immediately struck with the thought, okay, wait just a minute. This book shows me where to go find free rocks. What? But then the thought came to me, this author is inviting people to search for rocks in the Utah desert. It's often over 100 degrees in the summertime when our kids are out of school. Who would be stupid enough to buy a book telling them where to go find rocks? This seemed about as foolish as buying bottled water. Mind you, purchasing and drinking bottled water was just coming into popularity at about this time. Well, I bought the book. Looking through it, I discovered that there was a map indicating where we could look for rocks called Wonderstone. And the site was not far from our home. You may be asking yourself, why is it called Wonderstone? Well, we wondered that also. So my wife and I loaded up the kids, our dogs, some snacks, and plenty of water and headed to an area near Vernon, Utah to look for Wonderstone. Funny first lesson. On the map, the small little mining symbol that marks the spot was only like half an inch from our home. But in reality, the location was about an hour and a half away. By the time we reached the target area, we were all ready to get out of the car. We eagerly gathered around the bed of the truck as I showed my family the black and white picture of Wonderstone. that I had seen in my new rock hounding book. Quickly, there were shouts of, "Let's go find some!" Thankfully, and mostly by dumb luck, our first search area turned out to be a target-rich environment. I mean, the stuff was everywhere. Soon, we noticed where people had been digging. But why? We couldn't take a step without seeing the stuff. So why had others gone to such the effort to dig? All of us had success in finding the stone. It was much prettier than it looked in the black and white photo that I had in the book. Soon, we were all saying things like, "Oh, look at this one," and "I found a bunch over here," or "I found a really big one." Before we knew it, the bed of the truck was filling up with treasures that we had all found. We were all having a really fun time, all of us, at the same time. And best of all, not one cuss word was uttered. What was happening? All of us, even the dogs, were having a lot of fun. And it wasn't costing us a thing. It was free. Sure, we had to pay for the gas to get out there. Oh, and I had to purchase the guidebook. But that was it. How could this be? In the past, we'd invested thousands of dollars at Disneyland, hoping to ensure fun family time. Rock counting. Who knew? We quickly became big fans. We looked through the book to find the next rock hunting territory. Hi, my name's JB, and I'm a recovering rockaholic. I was totally addicted. Our adventures led us to petrified wood, agate, crystals, geodes. But we quickly learned that very few of the places we explored gave up their treasures as easily as the Wonderstone location. But even that was okay. It just made it more exciting to find the rocks we were hunting. When I say rocks, I'm also referring to gemstones and semi-precious stones. They were beautiful. When we went on a trip, we added a few rock counting stops along the way. It was so fun. It was common for us to go on vacation and come home with different kinds of rocks. I mean treasures. Each type of stone we found had a story behind it. Where did we find it? How hard was it to locate? What extended family or friends did we take with us? Our rock counting adventures were creating fantastic memories. And I must tell you, we took a lot of people rock counting with us. Some were the friends of our kids, some were friends of my wife and I. Many were from the neighborhood or from the congregation. Soon, our camping trips were based around what rock we wanted to find and where they were located. It wasn't long before we sold our boat. Did you know that Utah is one of the best rock hunting states in the country? Utah can be divided into three main areas for minerals: the Great Basin and the Wasatch Mountains, the Uinta Mountains and the Uinta Basin, and the Colorado Plateau. Let me tell you about each of these sectors and the riches they contain. First, the Great Basin is located on the west side of Utah. The old ghost town of Frisco, which I told you about in episode 2, is located in the Great Basin. The Great Basin was once the bottom of a huge body of water called Lake Bonneville. This lake covered almost all of western Utah, some of southern Idaho, and even eastern Nevada. According to the geological record, this enormous lake eventually breached its shoreline near present-day Downey, Idaho. And with that, Lake Bonneville was gone. The only remnants of the lake are the Great Salt Lake and Utah Lake. I could spend an entire episode telling you about Lake Bonneville, and most likely I will down the road a bit, but for now, let me get back to rock counting. When Lake Bonneville drained, many fossils were left in those layers of mud. One of the most common fossils found in the Great Basin are trilobites. They are extinct, tiny, marine arthropods. It's exciting to locate trilobites. They are a great treasure to add to any rock hound's collection. Vast minerals were deposited when Lake Bonneville breached its banks, eventually making the Great Basin rich in gold, silver, copper, and iron ore. The Great Basin also contains many gemstones, obsidian, sunstones, topaz, which is the Utah state rock, agate, and jasper are common finds for rock hounds. There is one gemstone which can be found in the Great Basin that is the most sought-after prize for any collector. It's called Red Beryl, or Bixbite. It is one of the most rare gemstones on the planet. It's difficult to locate, and it's extremely valuable. There are only 3 locations in the entire world where this precious gemstone can be found. 2 of those locations are in the Great Basin of Utah, and the other is in New Mexico. When cut, this gem is exquisite, and it is far more rare than diamonds, rubies, or sapphires. The next section of Utah I want to tell you about is the area containing the Uinta Mountains and the Uinta Basin. This is where Dinosaur National Monument is located. Many, many dinosaur bones and tracks have been discovered in Utah. But before you get any ideas about finding these ancient relics and adding them to your collection, remember, it's illegal. It is a federal offense and authorities will prosecute you. The only exception to this law is if you find the bones on private land, and even then, you better have permission. Like the Great Basin, the Uinta area also has a lot of agate and jasper. But the real prize for us rock hounders is the black and red horn coral found throughout this area. These corals were formed in an ancient sea that existed when the dinosaurs roamed the earth. Oh, and I don't want to forget some of the other prize minerals found in the Uinta Basin. Are any of you fans of the History Channel series called The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch? If so, you may remember an episode when they were drilling at the so-called Triangle. The head of security, a man they called Dragon, saw some black rocks that were extracted when they were collecting core samples while drilling. These rocks were as black as coal, but they weren't coal. They ran tests and found that not only was it a very rare mineral, but it may not be native to planet Earth. What do I mean by not native to planet Earth? I mean, it was not formed here. It may be an alien mineral from outer space. So, how did it get in the Uinta Basin? Well, it may have actually created the Uinta Basin. Some scientists believe that the Uinta Basin could have been created by an impact crater of a massive meteor. And that is how the mysterious black mineral arrived on planet Earth, and more specifically at Skinwalker Ranch. Dragon may have located the rare black mineral on Skinwalker Ranch, but he wasn't the first person to discover the extraordinary mineral. In fact, this mysterious black mineral has been mined in the Uinta Basin for over 100 years. It's called gilsonite. Gilsonite, was first discovered in the Uinta Basins in the 1860s. 25 years later, a man by the name of Samuel H. Gilson found this mineral was a great waterproofing compound. He began to mine the black rock and called it Gilsonite. Gilsonite provided a huge economic boom for the Uinta Basin, and, until recently, it was only mined in the Uinta Basin. Smaller deposits have been discovered in Colombia and Iran. Finally, let's move to the third region of Utah, the Colorado Plateau. The Colorado Plateau stretches from the Uinta Basin on the north to the Arizona border to the south. It extends from the border of Colorado on the east to the Wasatch Mountains on the west. Interestingly, it is said that this amazing area known as the Colorado Plateau must have been specifically created for rock hounding. What can be found here? Well, for one thing, it's packed with national parks. But when it comes to rock hounding, there is an abundance of great treasure. That said, the earth doesn't give up its riches easily. You really gotta hunt. With the federal creation of the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, as well as the Bears Ear National Monument, thousands of square miles of land that were once open to amateur rock hounds were gobbled up by the federal mandate. These lands are now closed to collecting. It is each individual's responsibility to know about the land and whether or not it is legal to collect there. Just because an old rock hounding book describes a good location, it doesn't relieve anybody of the responsibility of knowing the law. Everyone should do a little research to determine if a site is open to collecting still. A quick call to the Bureau of Land Management office should do the trick. The good news is that the Colorado Plateau is massive, and there is still a plethora of great locations to rock hound. The Colorado Plateau has beautifully colored agates and jaspers. There's also petrified wood and corporalites. What's that? You've never heard of corporalites? Don't feel bad. They are rare. But they have become a hot item on the internet of late. So what are they? Well, it's petrified dinosaur dung. No, they don't stink. They're petrified and have turned to rock. Here's the crazy thing. When you polish these babies, they can be quite stunning. Yes, I did just talk about polishing a turd. Get over it. Areas around Capitol Reef National Park contain some of my favorite hunting spots for agates, jaspers, and petrified wood. The San Rafael Swell also has agate and petrified wood. Opals hide along the Colorado River Valley in Grand County. You can find petrified clams near Cisco, Utah. Head to San Juan County to find garnets. If jet black is more your color, you can hunt the Coley Basin. There you may find jet, which is a very black rock. Get it? Jet black. If you're in Utah, whether you live here or you're just visiting, and you have never gone rock hounding, you really should give it a try. Even so, I realize that it's not for everyone. You can count on getting really dirty, and it can be very hard work. The weather often becomes a factor in your search, but nevertheless, it is so much fun. What should you do to get started in rock hounding? As I said before, the first thing you need to do is find a good guidebook. In my experience, this is a must. As you begin to learn what to look for, soon you may find yourself successful enough to write your own book. You may want to join a rock hounding club. There are many credible rock hounding clubs in Utah. that are anxious to share their expertise with new members. Many clubs have secured their own claims and only allow club members on those claims. A lot of these clubs take frequent field trips to popular rock counting sites. This hobby requires specific tools and supplies. You will need a rock pick, shovel, buckets, gloves, safety glasses, lots of drinking water, and don't forget a first aid kit. I would also highly recommend a Utah State Road and Recreation Atlas. This is a great resource in knowing what kind of roads you should expect. GPS on your phone is a great asset, assuming there is service in the area. However, many of the best rock hounding sites are in very remote locations. Make sure you check the weather before you head out. Utah is known for flash floods and other extreme weather conditions. We want to make sure you make it back home safely. Be sure to have at least one good spare tire and the equipment needed to change it, if necessary. Speaking of safety, old abandoned mines can pose a very real risk. They are everywhere in Utah's backcountry. Don't go in them. Many of the old mines on the Colorado Plateau are abandoned uranium mines. They are extremely dangerous. As uranium deteriorates, it creates gamma radiation from the isotopes of bismuth and lead that are in the uranium. Most old mines pose tremendous risk to those who venture inside. Besides rotten ceiling beams and precarious walls, deadly gases often collect in old mines. Without proper instruments, you have no idea if the air inside is lethal. It's best to stay out of abandoned mines. But in the area around old mines, you can often find some really cool stuff. Look in the mine tailing piles for gems like malachite and azurite. Pyrite, better known as fool's gold, can often be located around old mines. The prospectors left many minerals in the tailing piles that were of no use to them, but are highly sought after today. Well, are you ready to try your hand at rock counting? Let me tell you of a couple places that you can go and you're almost guaranteed to have success. The number one place is the Dugway Geobeds. This location is in the Great Basin and is on the southern edge of the Utah Salt Flats. If you're traveling from the Wasatch Front, you will follow the historic Pony Express route all the way out to the geobeds. There are remnants of stage stops along the way. It's fun to stop and explore these ruins and stretch your legs. Next, I would recommend the Vernon Wonderstone site. Everyone will have success finding Wonderstone at this location. I also recommend Topaz Mountain. Yep, it's a mountain full of topaz. In this location, the topaz is a smoky tan or brown color. When the topaz is exposed to sunlight, it loses its color and becomes clear. If you search the drainages, you will find a lot of clear topaz crystals. For the amber brown topaz, you have to dig in very hard rhyolite. Rhyolite is a rock that came from volcanoes that erupted 6 to 7 million years ago. Finally, I would recommend the Torrey Petrified Wood site. Just north of the town of Torrey, Utah, rock hounds can find nice pieces of petrified wood at the base of the mountains. Another advantage of visiting this site is that Torrey is the gateway to the Capitol Reef National Park. There are literally thousands of locations to rock hound in Utah. Visitors come from all around the country to give it a try. If you venture out, let me know what you find. I would love to hear about your adventures, or misadventures, as the case may be. If you would like more information about rock counting in Utah or any of our other podcasts, you can email me at info@undiscoveredutah.com. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Undiscovered Utah. Join me next week as I share more about the Great Southwest. Good night, everybody.